everybody. Today it's Christine again with the Co-Living Show, and we have Magdalena Sartori on from The Assemblage in New York City, which super thrilled to get her on. It's an amazing, amazing concept. I have yet to visit personally, but definitely next time I'm in NYC, I'll be there. We have people actually live in our concept that have been there to events, and it's just an amazing place. She's actually a trained architect and developer, and she is all about managing their brand and creating and designing through the realm of feelings and the unseen, which we'll definitely tap into, to make spaces that bring people together in community and allow them to be their highest version of themselves. So we'll launch right into it. Thank you so much, Magdalena, for coming on the show today for the Co-Living Code. Let's go ahead and talk about, I know you guys started, The Assemblage started in 2017, correct?
Correct. We started working on it 3 to 4 years ago. We opened our first location a year and a half ago, so September 2017. Opened the second one 8 months later, and then we're opening our third location in 2 months. So it was a pretty quick expansion.
And then are they all located? Where are they all? Are they pretty close by, or are they in different areas?
They're all in New York City. All in Manhattan. We have one in Nomad, which is kind of the tech center in New York City. Another one in the financial district, which was also very meaningful for us because we crowdfunded the building. So as you probably know, we have a crowdfunding platform called College Network that crowdfunded all the buildings. So having something in the financial district was really meaningful because we're showing a different way of financing real estate in the city. And then the third one is opening very close to our first location where I am right now in the Assemblage Nomad.
Nice. I know, which room is this? This is a beautiful room.
I am here in the Assemblage Nomad in our gong room. It's our meditation room where we host meditations 3 times a day at 9 a.m., 3 p.m. and 6 p.m. for members, people that work here or here during the day.
And then is the co-working and co-living like two separate models? Can one person, you know, can they just come to co-work at the Assemblage and then you have separate living quarters?
It's all mixed together. We have different tiers of memberships depending on what you need. But part of the concept was to deconstruct that separation between living and working. You probably know, and a lot of us are now like living our dreams in a way, and we don't make any distinctions anymore into our work life and a life, becoming one thing, especially for millennials, it's just like all melting together. So we wanted to address that and create a place where you can just be, work, live, eat, meditate, just do everything in one space. It's a place that feels more home than home itself.
I love that. And then let's dive into what you really help create, like the essence, the ethos of the Assemblage. Like you said, like in your bio, you help create the unseen. Like, can you go into detail about how you guys maybe go a little deeper on that, how you guys do that?
Yeah, so our general mission is for everyone that works here and is here is to help raise consciousness on the planet and for the peaceful moment of evolution where we can extinguish ourselves on the planet or just evolve into something else, something bigger than ourselves. And so a lot of the ethos is around reconnecting us with the planet. So we work a lot with biophilia, which is a concept that says that human beings lost connection with other living systems. We have a lot of plants in the space so that you unconsciously start reconnecting with other living systems. We work with indigenous tribes that produce a lot of our furniture that's in the space, and again, like unconsciously bringing in that wisdom that is lost in our civilization. And everything in the space is designed in a way where you would feel good and feel more connected. And you may not acknowledge it because it's nothing that you can see. I always say it's probably not the prettiest place in the city, but most people feel good in it. And you feel better in places that may be beautiful to the eyes, but there's something about the place that just like makes people feel more connected with themselves and with the universe. First, I was managing director of the company for the first 2 years. I built the initial team. I build brand concept with my partner Rodrigo, who owns the crowdfunding platform that funded us. And yeah, we built the team from day zero. The right people started showing up at the right time. And we always say that everyone that joined in a way is sharing the dream and the mission for themselves. So everyone is here fulfilling their own mission in a way.
And then do most of the members, were they already living in New York? Or are they coming from all over the world? Like, what's your demographic made up of?
So we opened, our first building had no co-living, so it's just co-working and social spaces. It's mostly New York City people. With our second building with the co-living space, and we started seeing more members that maybe live in California or in Miami and need a place to stay when they're here, so they spend 2 or 3 weeks a month here. But our co-living is very mixed. We have everything from tourists from all over the place to people, families that are living there and just love the lifestyle.
What's the bare minimum stay that they can do there?
One night, our hotel, and half our extended stay. So you can have one night, 1 week, 1 month, 1 year. It's very flexible. And I think that's been really amazing for building the community and the space, is that we have all type of people, and it creates a beautiful mix of people that may normally not even cross paths. You know, like the tourist that suddenly is here and like has access to a gong meditation during the day and meets with other members, and then create more synergies. They're much more interesting than just a unified community.
Oh my gosh, I love that. I love what you guys are building as far as community, especially in that city, right? People tend to be, you know, they fall into New York City and maybe they're not connected yet. So you guys bring them together to build that community. That's really cool. And then what, so do you personally live there or not?
I don't. I get asked this question all the time. I have an apartment 2 blocks away from John Street, so I'm really close. I spend most of my time there. We have our assemblage offices in the spaces. When I don't come for more than 2 days, I miss it. I miss our food, our meditation, our community. But yeah, I don't live there. It's kind of paradoxical in a way, because I build my own dream space. But I feel like it's good to have a little separation.
Yes, no, definitely. And the people I've interviewed on this show, it's about a 50-50 split, those that live in their concept and those that don't. So it's to each their own, right? There's different pros and cons, I'm sure, to both. And then, so you guys have this separate, are the meals, I think I have heard, the food is included, correct? All the food?
Yeah, it's included. So it's a huge part of the ethos, and, you know, talking about co-living and even co-working, like we lost that sense of shared meals. And sharing meals is like the initial step to build a community, just to eat together. So we serve communal breakfast and lunch downstairs in our main space, and everyone comes down from their office, from the hotel, from the co-living, and share a meal together. We also decided not to have a service in space, so everything is self-reliance and self-service. So you get your own food, you bring your plates back, and that's something that may be very common in certain communities, but in New York City, it's very rare. And I think that adds a lot of ownership of the space, where people feel maybe more like they're at home.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome. I love that. And then, so what kind of events? So I know you guys host a lot of events. So do you guys do internal events and invite the public in, or do you guys have separate events?
So we host over 80 events a month.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and it's going to increase with the third location opening soon. We have all type of events. So every evening we have 1 or 2 events going on of the buildings. We try to have mind and spirit, so some are experiences that are shared, so either meditations or moon circles, more like mind focus, where we bring entrepreneurs and people to speak about what they're doing. We try to do as much as we can with the members themselves, so we have incredible people working and staying in our place, so we offer them the stage to talk. so that then you can actually create community as well, because you see those people around and then potentially even create synergies of someone that has a complementarity business or company to what they're doing. Then we do daily programming, so we have yoga, breathwork, and meditation 3 times a day in each building. And then we host a bunch of different events for the companies and members themselves, to host lunches or dinners in the space.
That is amazing. Now, you definitely get the reward for the most events out of everybody that's been on the show. 80 a month is really a healthy number. It's funny, I just posted to recently on my Instagram, I've gotten super deep into breathwork, like fell in love with it. So I'm so glad you guys are hosting that. And I know a few other homes that are doing the same. So that is awesome. And then, so how many members total do you guys have between the locations?
We have about almost 2,000 members by now, because we have these different tiers of memberships. So there's social memberships, people that don't need a place to work, and then the flexible co-working. We have 9 floors of co-working offices, private offices here. So yeah, it's growing very fast, and because of that, those different tiers of memberships, we have a large community.
And that's amazing. I know right before we started recording, I said, gosh, you guys remind me so much of Summit, you know, and we were talking about that because you're getting ready to go to the Tulum Summit, right?
Yes, I am. I love Summit. I've been there almost for 3 years, and I'm going to Summit. We host Summit book clubs here. Summit hosts book clubs. We're looking at hosting some Summit series talks. And we're very complementary because we have a very similar overlapping community, but they don't have a continuous ongoing space. So we're looking at actually partnering.
Oh my gosh. Please tell me every time I go to one of their events, I'm like, I want to live at Summit. That's what I keep saying. I don't want to leave. So that's really, really cool. And it sounds like you guys have created something similar. Are you looking to expand anytime soon to different, other than New York, like outside of New York?
We are looking at it. We're looking at different options right now. What they call horizontal expansion, so outside of New York City, and vertical expansion, so in the community itself. And the two are going on in parallel right now. As soon as we open Park Avenue, which is going to be in the middle of April, then we are ready to start expanding outside of the city and also putting our efforts expanding vertically as well. So we are building an app called the Game of Life that is going to be the social architecture behind the community. It's going to be a self-transformation tool for members to go through, but to also share that process with the community itself. So we're going to have events, Game of Life events in the space as well.
Ooh, when does your app launch?
March 21st.
Oh, soon, next month. What is that? What's the app called? Is it called The Assemblage?
No, it's called the Game of Life.
The Game of Life. Okay, cool. So everybody can check that out very soon now. And then please come to Los Angeles. West LA would be such a perfect place for you guys. Like, we need something like that. We don't have it here. And so, okay, great. So you guys got apps. So that actually is a good lead into my next question is, like, what technology, we're currently building for the entire co-living industry globally. What do you guys use internally? Do you guys have your own system? Did you guys kind of hack together different pieces of software, like for your booking and all that stuff? What do you guys use?
It's been very challenging because we have so many different sources of revenue because of the co-living, the co-working, the events. It's been challenging to find one system that works for all. And we actually plugged in different systems. So we use Stay in Touch for the hotel. We use Triple Seat for the events. We use PC for the doors. So we have keyless doors that you can open through the app itself. And technology is embedded in our ethos, like, very deeply, because we come from a technology platform, which is our crowdfunding platform. So we have an incredible technology team that was already in place when we started the Assemblage. We have our app. You can do everything on the app. You can book a hotel room, you can book a meeting room, you can unlock it with the app itself, you can book your event. We're working in a hall. app now to connect members with themselves. We have a members network platform as well. So it's a huge part of it. It's that's part of the invisible architecture that we design the community.
No, Magdalena, I'm so glad, like, we're talking about this, right? Because I've always preached, like, I feel like humans, I think people are afraid that, you know, the bots are going to take over, but I'm like, there's no reason why, like, we, technology and humans can't work together, right? To improve our lives.
Yeah, I think we just need to be very aware and stay very connected with our essence of who we are as humans on the planet. And just as long as we stay on that axis and use technology as a tool to connect us and to take us higher, I really believe it can be an incredible thing. It can also be very dangerous. It's all about how, what choice you make, how you use it.
Do you guys do any like tech free, like put your phones, like keep the phones out of the meditation room? Do you guys separate at all, or do tech-free days?
No, that's a good idea, actually. I was thinking about it. We thought about having phone sanctuaries at the entrance of the meeting, so you would keep your phone. It's been very difficult, or in New York City, after all, for phones. But I think we're going to incorporate more and more of that. I think it's important. You know, I was a member of Soho House for a long time, and it's very annoying that you're home. So I think it's more about, instead of putting limits to the community, just like making people aware so that they can choose how to use it.
I like you said phone sanctuary. Put it in the phone sanctuary when you enter. See, I love that. You come up with the perfect terminology, and then people will want to do it.
For authority. So, you know, I'd rather just like, make people more aware of how they use it and educate people instead of telling them you cannot use it.
No, you're right. Because everybody's adults, so they can choose. But no, there's a place I just went to. It's called Unplugged Meditation here in there's one in Santa Monica and there's one in Hollywood. And they literally take your phone when you walk in the door, and they have all these chargers. So there was like 30 iPhones being charged. You know, they charge it for you while you're in the meditation room. But I thought that was really unique. Like, it was nice not to have that energy, because I believe that you probably shouldn't have that energy in a meditation room, to be honest.
Yeah, totally. And we're actually looking at having Wi-Fi and network blockers in our meditation room. We don't realize how much pollution there is, like electromagnetic pollution in spaces, and especially here in New York, there's a lot of that. So I would love to start creating those zones with no electromagnetic waves, especially when we're meditating.
And so, like thinking about the future, like how do you guys for 2000? Because you guys have an aggressive growth plan, it sounds like, which is great and so exciting, and I'm like rooting for you guys all the time. How many members do you guys have? 2000 members now. Like, what do you guys forecast, you know, by the end of 2019?
Well, it's difficult to say because we are launching the app and we're going to start doing virtual memberships as well. So, you know, our target is about 1 million users in the next few years. So it's, like you said, it's an aggressive plan. We have so many different tiers. So we have the virtual membership and the spaces themselves, but also people that use the space and may be using other spaces to work from. That said, the plan is to, right now that we have the studios in New York City, to really start creating ways for the community to connect with each other and like to become a real community. Because you can share space, but that's not enough. And we realize like you need tools to bring people together and to enhance the synergies that can happen in space. It's potentiate the synchronicity.
Awesome. And then this is the question I ask everybody. It is my last question. As far as co-living, so again, taking just the co-living piece of what you guys do, where do you see that as an industry in the next 5, 10, 20 years?
Well, I definitely think it's the future. I think we're going back to tribal bonds. I think are getting out of our own isolation loops of like living by ourselves and in a space, or even the nuclear family itself, the whole concept of isolating your kids from other people that may also be able to educate them or bring pieces of education. I think we're going back to living in a tribe. I think that's who we are. And it's, in a way, humanity remembering who it is, and its core essence of the social beings and tribal beings. I do think that in the future, in the near future, we're going to see a lot of different models. And I think they're all going to work in a way, because we're going to need different experiences, but then we need to embrace our own individuality as well, and just choose what fits us better. So I see us as evolving different tribes that may have similar but distinctual values, and then you're going to be able to kind of pick and choose what works for you.
I love it. That is a perfect place to end on. Thank you so much for your time. And I promise next time I'm in New York City, I am definitely going to stay there. I will probably not want to leave until it gets cold. Unless it's cold, then I'll come back to California.
Stay with us.
Thank you. Have a great rest of your day.
Bye.
Bye.